I remember once some god sister from before, I was preaching to her about something. Hare Krishna. And she said, "Thanks for telling me such a wonderful story." And I lost it. I said, "These stories, like my mother used to say to me when I was a kid, like, are you telling me a story?" That meant a lie in mom speak. A story. She'd go, "Are you telling me a story?" That was my mother's code word for, "Are you lying to me?" Then I'd have to stand in a corner and look at the wall. The wall can be very interesting when examined closely. So anyway, I said, "This is not a story like, oh, I heard that story. Are you now going to tell the story that we've heard so many times?" But if we take the word story in contemporary literary usage, where it means, like we say, the story of our lives, the story to life, then we can say story again. Meaning, like the why, the purpose, the meaning behind something. What's the story behind it, the substance? So these, we use the word pastimes, lila, right? And it's hot in here. Glad I came prepared. Guru Maharaj once said, "Leela," he said, "meaningless pastimes." Like Oscar Wilde says, all art is quite useless. People go, "Oh, no, why do you say that?" Is it? He's having fun with them. He means reality is for itself and by itself. Art doesn't exist to fulfill any other purpose. That's why it's useless. You can't use it to do something else. That's what Kaivalya means. Don't mix anything.
You go, "Oh, I think it means oneness."
It means don't mix anything in. Keep it pure. That's what Kaivalya means, according to Guru Maharaj. So, what did I say before that?
Story.
The story, no, but, huh? Oh, all art is you, yeah. So he's saying, that means like, you don't use a shellogram as a nutcracker, right? What do they call them? Revolutionary, they have a name for the priest in Latin America who are into socialism. Revolutionary something or other, theist or something. Where they try and say, like, Jesus was a communist, Jesus was a socialist. Russian people know that's not true. Only somebody in Latin America would buy that, into that. Or the Bengalis go, "Mahaprabhu was a communist." Because he says, "Naham vipra na chanarapati na pibaisha na shudro." I'm not a, you know, class assigned, I'm not a vaisha. You know, that's not exactly what he's talking about. All right. So, reality is for itself and by itself. Then what about us? As Saraswati Thakur said, you have no position. Right. Oh, so you mean everything's meant for Krishna's enjoyment. What about us? Well, you see what kind of enjoyment you get to have here. Right. But we couldn't conceive that. We only understand enjoyment as consumption and exploitation. Like Americans say, "I love pizza." Is it really love? Right. What they mean is, I like devouring hot slices of pizza. Or women. The same, whether pizza or women, different slices alternately. That's not love. It just means you're in a consumptive, devouring mode. And because it brings you some simulated happiness, you think it's enjoyment. There's another type of enjoyment that comes from giving. mothers can understand this somewhat. They are slaves of their children. I will say, what's all the bowing down about?
I don't bow down to anybody.
Oh, except your tongue and genital, right? That you bow down to.
But otherwise, you don't bow down to anybody.
Right? And they say, why are they bowing? Out of respect to something higher that cannot be consumed or enjoyed, that there's something higher than me, that I offer the highest aspect of myself to the least aspect of that plane. That's the spiritual project. So the mother, and I told, or grandparents particularly, they, like, my brother is like this. He's now a happy, dancing slave of his granddaughter, who's like 2 years old. As sophisticated as he might be, as powerful as he might be, all of these things, he's a toy. He's her toy. Not the toys she has that are lifeless. He's a human toy of this girl. She can do anything she wants with him. And happily he's put himself in that position out of love and affection. But then if we say that's possible with God, people, oh no, no, that can never be. Oh, you can do it. You can become the slave of a 2-year-old girl or a 4-year-old girl happily, but not God. Why? Why can't the same thing be there? So we see in this pastime, now, Krishna is just playing and says to Nanda Maharaj, he's very, you can imagine, we see how cute children are. How cute would the infinite be as a child? If we find even children in this world are irresistibly cute, how cute must Krishna actually be? And especially if a child is precocious, right? They speak beyond their years. So he's asking, what? They're getting all the paraphernalia ready for the annual Indra Yajna, right? Because these are theistic people, they're also personalists. They know, like, nobody lives in this world free, scot-free. You're breathing air, you're drinking water, you get the benefits of sunlight. They're not just primitive, ignorant people. They're showing some tribute for the water, the light. They know how things work. Without water, you don't get grass. They're cowherds. Without grass, the cows don't get fed. There's no milk for butter, curd, yogurt, etc., which besides using for our sustenance, we also barter for other things we need. They're not foolish people. They know that there's personality behind everything. So Guru Maharaj actually uses this pastime to talk about the subjective evolution of consciousness. In many ways, it's amazing. But still, so Krishna's asking Nanda Maharaj, and when he's all the cowherd men, they're getting all the butter, curd, everything ready for the annual Indra Yajna. I like to joke and say, you know, Christ said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, render to God what is God's. In the Govardhan Leela, we learn, render to God what is Caesar's. This is like taking that concept a little bit deeper. What you normally give to Caesar, give it to God. You go, well, then I'm going to get in trouble. Exactly. And then we'll see what kind of a theist you are. If after you get in trouble by giving what belongs to Caesar to God, if you stick it out and stay faithful to the lotus feet of Krishna, then what we're told, utpatyaika kampa anukampa, deve varshati yagya viprabhavisha varshanina siddhat palupasya spiatma sharanam utskampayam utsmayam anukam. When they finally take shelter of Krishna, he smiles a little bit. Like, I knew they would. Right. They don't try to protect themselves. They don't have some guy there saying, I think if we create some kind... No, they don't do that. They just run to Krishna. They say, Krishna, by following you, now we got in trouble. Welcome to the Krishna consciousness movement. That's usually what happens. I know we're not supposed to say that. But outside of a small circle of friends, no one will hear what I say. Or, and of those who hear it, only a small percentage of people will understand it. So we're okay, we're safe. But that's what happens. You learn from this pastime. When you decide to follow, go against the current of the world and go toward Krishna conception, there's a reaction for that. And that's where the test comes. And those who remain steadfast in devotion to Guru, Krishna, Krishna smiles and gives them shelter. Otherwise, you can opt out. You can opt out and seek some other durase yir bahirartamanina, some false shelter. So anyway, Ananda Maharaj says, he explains the whole thing. We get the rain from Indra, the god of heaven, and that produces the grass. The cows eat the grass. We get the milk, produce ghee, butter, curd, yogurt, etc. So every year we do this. It's a tradition. Krishna even says, is this one of those traditions? He does everything that we know about in this world. He uses it as a counter-argument. As the little boy said, is this one of those traditions we just follow and no one knows really why? Nanda Maharaj, well, not exactly. There's a reason. But then Krishna starts going through all the different atheistic philosophical systems of India. India, mark this, the only religion that has a branch called atheism. So they got it covered. One way or another, you're covered on our Hindu policy. No, we're not Hindu. But we have atheism and branches of different types of atheism if you like swing that way, if that's how you roll. Right? So Krishna says, Karmavad, Karma Mimamsa. What's Karmavad in a nutshell? It's the person who says, and they think they're speaking very honestly. They go, I don't know if God exists or not. I think probably, but I don't really know. But I know the difference between right and wrong. So I do what's right. And if there's a God, I'm doing what's right. And if there is no God, I'm doing what's right. I'm better than you. No. And so what they've done is conveniently eliminated God. What's the most important thing? Doing what's right. So I know you're way ahead of me on this. So what's Krishna going to ask you to do? Something that's wrong against the current of the world, apparently, to test that theory. He also says, if you say it's like a karmic reaction thing, you have to do the offering to Indra and then you get the rain. Why does it rain on the street? Does the street do an annual puja? And what about the river? Does the river do a puja? We see it's raining on places that rain's irrelevant or they don't need rain. It doesn't just rain on the grass. They're all in. And Krishna says, and if what you say is true about this karmic reaction thing, then Indra has no choice but to reciprocate with you, whether you do this puja or not, karmically speaking. So he goes through all these different types of things. And in conclusion, says, I got a better idea. And there's the beautiful Govardhan Hill. He said, that's actually where we get everything, is from Govardhan. As the gopis say in the verse, Hantaya Madrilabala Haridasa Bharja Yad Rama Krishna Charana Swarasha Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayas Tayorya Paniya Suya Basakanda Rakanda Mule. They're very discreet. Really, they want to say something about themselves and Krishna, their loving pastimes. But they know that, I mean, look, we don't even talk about that in the world. Why should they, right? People here, if someone advertises their erotic tendencies, we don't usually revere them too highly. Well, I'm no longer a Brahmin. I've transcended. I'll reinitiate myself. I wasn't one to begin with, but just kind of faking it for the fan club. Mahananda, Madhusudan Maharaj reminded me, Guru, Dave would put tilak on Guru Maharaj, and Guru Maharaj would say, my disguise. Anyway, we do this for Saraswati Thakur, kind of sticking it to the Hindus. What was I saying? About... Oh, right. So the gopis, they say, Hantayam Adra Labala Haridasa Varja. They're saying Govardhan is Haridas Varja, the best of the Haridasas. And there's three Haridasas. I forget. One's Uddhava, one's Govardhan. Forget who the third one is. And they're saying of all the Haridasas, he's the best. That's why Guru Maharaj says, Anta Krishna Bihira Gauram Darshi Tangari Vaibhavam. Like Jiva Goswami says about Mahaprabhu, internally he's Krishna, externally he's in the mood of a devotee. So Guru Maharaj is saying, really, we're imposing this Krishna identity on him, and it's okay, I'm okay with it. The flute, the crown, all that, I get it. But it's not Guru Maharaj's conception, right? It's not what Das Goswami got from Mahaprabhu, but it's okay. He looks happy to me. But what Guru Maharaj is saying, he's like Mahaprabhu. Giriraj is in the mood of a devotee. He wants to serve. How is he serving? Sweet grasses, sweet water. And they say it, but they don't get explicit about it. They say, Manam tanoti sahagogani astayat. Paniya suya vasa kandara kandamule, and many caves. What are the caves for? They don't say. These are not ordinary caves. They're described in the Garga Sangita. The caves in Govardhan are illumined by jewels. They have jeweled flowered thrones. They're for pastimes. But they don't express all of that. It's always in like a seed, like a Bij mantra. It's in a seed. It will express in your heart through spiritual nourishment and development. But it's there in the seed form. So they're praising Govardhan that way, and they say, Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparsha Pramoda. Govardhan is ecstatic at the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. So it means it can't be Krishna in an ordinary sense. At one point, he shows, Giriraj can do anything, he's showing he's Krishna. When he accepts all their offerings, thousands of hands, he's moving, and in the Gopal Champu, it says mountains of bhog, like mountaintop type quantities. But, and he can do anything. He can personify as a snake and do somebody in if he chooses, or any other thing. When we were in Vrindavan, we wanted to, after seeing Radha Raman, we wanted to get some, how do you say, new eyes for Giriraj and Shenzhen. And so we were in Loy Bazaar. I needed to measure the deity to be sure. So Madhusudan Maharaj went into, he was staying in Gurudev's room and measured Giriraj. And he said, he's 8 inches wide. He said, but when he did the measurement, he told me this later. he told me on the phone. Yeah, at the end of the phone call, he said, when I did the measurement, Giriraj said to him in his mind, tell Goswami Maharaj I'm 8 yojanas wide. And I got it. I'm happy to hear that. Because in Garga Sangita, that means he can be the whole size of Vrindavan, as he does. The hill Krishna lifts is big, but it's not the whole. How's he going to cover everybody? Govardhan expands itself. But I thought that was funny. In his mind, he said, the deity said, tell Goswami Maharaj, I'm 8 yojanas wide, not 8 inches. Is 8 miles. Oh, wait, a yojana, 1 yojana is 8 miles approximately, 8 or 9 miles. So it'd be around 64. 16 kroshas is something like 64 square. It's like a joke, I mean, but it's a very profound spiritual joke. That's the size of Vrindavan. So he's saying, tell him, I'm the whole size of Vrindavan. What's in Vrindavan? In the atom of the soil of Vrindavan are innumerable Vaikuntha worlds, of which in a clouded portion once is the innumerable mundane universes. This is mystical. Vrindavan that accommodates everything appears to be finite. It's only 32 square miles or whatever you want to call it. I guess that's like 50 square kilometers. You understand? It's a Prakriti. The origin of everything looks like a small town. Everyone thinks, well, how do you fit all those universes in there? He can do it. As Kaviraj Goswami says, you have a vat of sugarcane juice. You concentrate it, it becomes molasses. Concentrate it further, it becomes sugar. Concentrate it, and its ultimate concentrated form, it's rock candy. So, like I'm sucking on a lozenge vat, and one rock candy could be an ocean of sweetness. That's what they're saying. When Srivast Thakur teases him and says, you don't find the same opulence in Vrindavan as you do in Vaikuntha. He wants to rub Srup Damodar to get the sandalwood to come out. That's how devotees are. They just don't come out for no reason. They need to be rubbed. So Mahaprabhu says, oh, be careful what you say to Srup Damodar. He's a Shuddha Brij Basi. And Srup Damodar says, it's not that, because Srivast says, what do they have in Vrindavan? Cows, yogurt, no, trees. What are the three things you think? Kamadenu, Kalpavriksha, and the gopis, the cowgirls. And what does Srup Damodar say? He quotes Karnamritam. Chintamani's Charanabhushanamanganam. On the ankle of one Brajagopi is an anklet made out of Chintamani gems. One Chintamani gem contains in it, a Vrindavan Chintamani gem, contains more opulence than all the Vaikunthas combined. And they wear them on their ankles. So he's saying, so what do you want to say about the opulence of Vrindavan? And you say the trees, the rural environment, they're the trees are Kalpavriksha, and the cows are Kamadenu. That's his answer. So it's inconceivable, Achintya. Anyway, so Krishna, because they all this, they're charmed by him. And not everyone equally. Nanda Maharaj, out of parental affection, agrees to Krishna. All right, let's worship Govardhan. All right, all the stuff for the Indra Puja, an announcement. All right, that's canceled. We're going to worship Govardhan Hill. Some cowherd men go like, really? Is that okay? Is that bona fide? You know, there's like, it's a group of devotees. We know what they're like. Some of them are totally into it. Others are like, I don't know. I think he's attached to his son. You know, I'm kind of attached to him myself. They have all different levels, but they ultimately go along with it, right? And then they do that, and that's when Indra gets upset, like any politician, right? And then he threatens, sends the clouds to devastate them. The whole place is now like a, what do they call it here? Typhoon or tsunami, not tsunami, but What was that thing? Was it a typhoon? In America, they call it a hurricane. Same thing, more or less. So, and now there are all these simple Brijbasis. Simple-hearted, like Gurudev used to tell the story of, they're gowalas, cowherds. He used to tell the story of when some gowala, cowherds, they're visiting Vivekananda. And you know, they're all, the family's there and they have the big turbans and the handlebar mustaches and they go, Shamiji, we are the cow-keeping peoples and the cow is our mother. And Gurudev said, Vivekananda said, I can see by looking at your face that what you say is true. The cow is our mother.
We are the simple-hearted people, you know.
So they're like that. And Balaram also is saying, sometimes the Krishna, these are your, like, you know, your hardcore Gyanashunya Bhaktas. Krishna just likes everything to be a cliffhanger, go to the brink, a little step beyond. So then they're like, they knock at Yashoda's house. Krishna, look what's happening. And we're told, what's it called? Sanvarta Shakti. He decides to go to Govardhan Hill as a solution. The Leela Shakti and its different Shaktis, they create a passageway so that not even one drop of water got on his turban. You see that he's not wearing a turban today, yesterday. No water got on Krishna, not a drop. So he runs there and they're all like, the cow, they're all crying. It's a, you know, it's a heartbreaking scene. Cows, calves are crying.
What do we do now, Swamiji?
You know, we're trying to follow you. You told us to do this, now we're in trouble. And that's where Guru Maharaj makes the point. You follow what Krishna says in your heart and the world turns against you. And that's when you find out whether or not you're serious about Krishna consciousness or not. Like Guru Maharaj said, just because you decide to become a devotee, this great, they may be celebrating in the spiritual world. We hear that. And loving search, Brihad Bhagavatamritam. Krishna saying, oh, in this lifetime, he's coming back. But Guru Maharaj said, they're not going to hold a parade. I remember I was driving through San Francisco once, and I was like very pissed off that everybody else did not decide to give up the world along with me. Like, how dare you keep chasing illusion? I called it. You know? Like, come on. You know? It doesn't work like that. But then I thought, everything can be proved. Prabhupada, Fifth Avenue, Rath Yatra, Krishna's parting gift to him for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Parade down Fifth Avenue. You know how Prabhupada would market that? The journalists are all there with their mics and everything. And Prabhupada knows how to flatter the ego of the Americans. He goes, sitting, you know, chanting, America is the most important country in the world.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Say, in America, New York is the most important city. Of course, we're all New Yorkers, we know that. In New York, Fifth Avenue is the most important street. Got it. You know, America, New York, Fifth Avenue. Probably say, on that street, we're having our festival. And Prabhupada rode down the chariot on Fifth Avenue. It was mine, with the cops, New York's finest. They, on the side, no cars. Prabhupada, who came there with $10 in 1976, comes riding down the street on a chariot that's like, you know, 20 meters high. Three chariots. I think it was Krishna's gift. It was in 76. He left in 77. It was a gift from Krishna for what he did, to celebrate his devotee. Krishna wants to celebrate the devotees, not himself. That's why he appears as Mahaprabhu, because he's thinking, I like to say this, Radharani is the better half of the absolute truth. How is that possible? in Krishna consciousness as possible, that the Supreme Absolute has a better half. And he acknowledges it as Mahaprabhu. By saying, he knows in their exchange, he's thinking like, what she's experiencing is 10 million times greater than what I'm experiencing. I'd like to, but I can't do it as an enjoyer. And this is back to the point I didn't finish off in the beginning. We think that enjoyer is the ultimate position. There's no greater enjoyer, sensualist than Krishna. And he's saying, to be a devotee, to be in the position of Radharani, what she's experiencing is greater by 10 million times than what I experienced. Take my word for it. I'm the Adi Purusha, the original male, the supreme enjoyer. That's what Mahaprabhu is telling us. It's the good news, because we still believe like, oh shit, you know, I didn't get to enjoy like everybody else. Krishna gets everything. It's like niggardly notions of ecstasy. Don't call this lecture that, please. Like somebody. I know, it'll be like, I have to do in-camera editing. Anyway, I digress. So that's the whole, why does he, as Gira, he's like happy to be a hill and have like the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram walking on him. Brindaranyam Swapadaramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti says, the earth, who's generally taken to be female, but in Shantarasa, is shivering in conjugal ecstasy at the touch of Krishna's lotus feet. That's what that sloka says. So we have to rethink all of this, what's going on there. Anyway, Krishna lifts the Govardhan hill and tells everybody, come on, everybody. And they all go underneath, and he's there, and we're told, Rohini and Yasoda, they're like, you know, they're feeding him, but they go, you know, and they're in such yogamayic delusion that Yasoda's saying, like, how long can he hold it? He's just a boy. Well, if he's just a boy, how can he hold it at all? But she's thinking he's not going to last. So she's feeding, they're pushing butter in his mouth, you know, and like, and the cow, and sometimes Krishna with his eyes, he sees Radharani and the Braja Gopis and their beauty, and then he like starts to tremble, and then it's like, and everyone, whoa! You know, like the cowherd men, they're putting sticks, thinking they're holding it, you know. It's like, whoa! Everybody's, ah. There's some drama there. It's not just like static for 7 days. Little lila, pastimes. Then we're told in the end, when he finally replaces it, Indra gives up, begs for forgiveness and all that. What do we hear in Vishwanath's commentary in Tenth Canto? Some Guru Maharaj said, Krishna likes to surround himself with ignorant people. How do you harmonize that with the statement, Vrindavan's for the highest section of liberated souls? Jnana Shunya Bhakti. That's what he means. Who are ignorant of his divinity. They're not ignorant. They have so much love for him, his divinity is eclipsed and suppressed by it. Like in this world, if a mother loves her child, it doesn't matter if he's the president of the United States. She can still go, listen to me, Mr. President. And he has to do what she says. Mom, stop. She doesn't care. It's her son. She knows the whole president thing is some kind of a joke. That's the way they go. And they don't like to hear it. We sit around making all this propaganda. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Have you heard about it? You go say that in Vrindavan, Mother Yasoda, don't ever say that around me. I'm sorry. See, then that's a vicious rumor started by people in Mathura, that he's not my son, he's some kind of a god or God himself. Don't believe it for a minute. And those cowherd people too, they say, yeah, if Gopal, then why does he, if we neglect him, he gets upset. Does that sound like God to you? Why is he always talking so much nonsense? Would God do that? joking around, talking nonsense. No, our Gopal, they love him so much that he, the God thing, is not an issue with them. It's a very peculiar Krishna conception. And like we told, you think a king, like we were saying, a king, you think he, like, if you go there at 2 o'clock in the morning and there he's like on the throne, just checking, you know, like, it doesn't work like that. He at least has to take a bathroom break, right? Or did they have a hole in the chair? Like in China, I swear to God, and she can tell you the truth, Chinese, they have a hole here for little kids' pants. So they can just poop in the street. Is that true or not? There you go. I saw it. I mean, the whole program. Yeah. The extent, you know, the director's cut. I went, wow, like there's a hole in his, where his butt, and they're just pooping in the street. Why did, oh, about the king. So the king is like his job. That's his public service, to be the king. He gets off the throne and he goes where the queen is. They have other, why should, and people are so stupid. I mean that in the nicest way possible. To think, like, so God, he can't have some private life? Like Guru Maharaj said, when you see a book like Krishna, you wonder, who's Krishna, who's the girl with Krishna? What is their relationship? God, the Christian God, I'm thinking, why is he so angry? I think, if you hadn't gotten laid in 2,000 years, you'd be angry too. Hitting, running around like, ah, you know, like. He needs a girlfriend. I'm trying to save them. But really, we've dealt in Krishna conception, that's covered. The erotic principle and unalloyed devotion. So Krishna is the full spectral range of loving possibility in relationships. And he has a private life. The kingly, majestic aspect of God is a lower, secondary, public feature. As the king has a private life, so does God. And there he's with the queen, the friends, they're playing. It only makes sense. It's common sense. Guru Maharaj said, I take my stand on spiritual common sense. So all of this comes out. There's so much in here, it's amazing. We didn't even get into subjective evolution of consciousness. Guru Maharaj goes into the whole thing about that. That's very beautiful. Why they address the moon as a person, the sun. It's not that they're primitive people. Huh? I don't understand, but it sounds okay to me. Jai. But there's, you know, if you see a shadow, you know there's a real thing. It's that simple. So if you're talking to that shadow, you might as well talk to me. I'm more near to you than that shadow, actually. It's something like that. I'm not going to get into it right now, but it's very profound. But anyway, oh, when Krishna comes out, so what do those Gyanashunya Bhaktas do? He's been holding it for a week, right? They come up, they start massaging his arm and his fingers. Like he's sore. Yeah, over here, right over, oh yeah, right there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was tough, you know. Ow. He's the infinite absolute. They're like massaging his arm, his left arm.
He doesn't even change hands.
Right. No, it's there. So they're doing the left arm. So there's so much beauty, charm, and sweetness in Krishna conception to accommodate everyone. The innumerable Vaikunthas, the innumerable universes, and everybody in it. As Guru Maharaj once said, it's not like trying to immigrate to England, where, you know, they have a quota. It's the ultimate all accommodating. He said, the means will be all inclusive. The end is most exclusive. But it's saying, oh, you mean other things aren't included? No. It's concentrated sweetness. That's why Madhura Rasa is the original. All the other rasas, Vatsalya, Sakya, Dasya, Shanta, they're satellites of Madhura Rasa. They're clients of Madhura Rasa. It has all the elements in them. So they can extend outward as different ones, but it's the original, Adi Rasa, Mukhya Rasa. So, and the most beautiful, I mean, this is all, and these pastimes are structured in such a way to gradually take us to full-blown Krishna conception exposure. But what's nice is, so Indra means king. Every Indra has a name, actually. Indra just means king. So this Indra, after he realizes his foolishness and he's praying to Krishna, Surabhi comes, they're bathing Krishna in milk. I hear it's going to happen again, correct? And they're bathing him in other ways too. Oh, the elephant, Airavata, bathes him with the, like Jamuna, Ganga. Anyway, Govindakunda is made, and we could talk more about it later. But so, and this is the way Leela works, pastimes. It's eternal, but things have a time when they happen at the same time. That's the charm of it. So Indra realizes, I thought I was the king of heaven, Indra, but I see you who are the Indra of the cows, the lord of the king of the cows, the lord of the cows, you are a superior king to, you know, millions of Indras. So since you are the lord of the cows, I designate you Gava Indra. Gava means cow. Gava Indra. If you put Gava Indra together, it becomes Govindra, Govinda. So Indra is the first one to call it. You are Govinda, and you are the Lord of my heart and so many others. So he's eternally Govinda, but in this pastime is where he's called Govinda. And everyone's happy after that. Everyone lives happily ever after. And Govinda Dham. Hare Krishna. That's all I have to say right now. Yeah, this portion of the entertainment. Yeah, that's what I thought. I said, these aren't story. These are story. If you hear them, what is it? Yad anu charita lila karna piyusha biprut sakrid advanda viduta danda dharma vinashta. Radharani says, if you hear a drop of one of these stories, you're finished. Your life is finished. And Guru Maharaj said, what is it like? In the movies, when they have the safe and they put some drops of acid on it and the door pops open. That's what he compared it to. The heart's locked up. Vidyate hridaya granti chidyante sarva samshaya. Hear a drop of the topics of Krishna, the real stuff. The whole thing, and then the treasure of the heart comes out. By hearing the story, katha, Krishna katha. So it is story, but I just didn't like it being like it was a story, as opposed to a heart dancing, leaping, liberating story.
Which is concurrent with reality.
Right, live, real-time live streaming Leela, not something that happened 5,000 years ago. In a universe far away, kind of stuff. But it's like, if you can get into the mood, the spirit of it, by serving this story, it streams to you real time, and you find out you're a participant in the story. Bhaktivinoda looking and seeing Mahaprabhu on the rooftop in Vidyanagar, that kind of thing. That's what I meant. Jai Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki, Jai Sri Govardhan Puja Ki, Jai.